Amen. He is great and he is mighty. Welcome to Living Springs on this Reformation Sunday, when the just shall live by their faith. We don't live by what we do, we live by what Jesus did. Isn't that wonderful? Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, on this beautiful Sunday morning. You have given us everything that pertaineth to life and godliness. And so we walk in your goodness. We walk in your victory. We walk in your gifts. We walk in your wisdom. You have given us a storehouse beyond anything we could ever imagine, and it will never run dry. We are so grateful for that this morning. And Lord, we pray this day for this service, that which you have created in eternity past, for this exact moment in time, that you would minister through your word, through worship, through fellowship, through all the things, Lord, that you are able to do, and even more so than we could ever imagine. Lord, I pray you'd be with those that are coming, you'd bring them safe, and I ask your special touch upon those that could not be here, for those that are ill, those that are laid up. Lord Jesus, those that are traveling, for all the different reasons, embrace them this morning. Let them sense your divine presence. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you chose to come and to be with us so that one day we could be with you. We worship you. We honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 You can check your bulletin for different announcements. Tuesday is elections, so we want to make sure that you're in prayer, which I'm sure you are, for God's choices on every level. You know, a lot of times we only think of the high level, but sometimes it's the local people that affect us more than even the national on occasion. So we need to keep all of it in prayer for God's people to be placed where they need to be. And so be praying, and then, of course, to go vote, to do both. If we're praying and we're watering and we're putting the seed there, then God will bring forth his work. Something I don't think I put in here, but I'm going to occasionally put in here a song or a hymn or something that you like. So if you have a favorite hymn or a favorite chorus that's in our hymnal, hopefully, let me know, and I'll include it, as I did this morning for Susan Anderson, who couldn't be here, but she knows it, so hopefully she was singing it at home. So now, please greet each other with the love of the Lord. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you today that you are blessed of all. And every blessing that you give to us is a part of who you are. Lord, it's not like you have gifts in a basket that you give us. You give us part of who you are through the power of your Holy Spirit. That's what you do. You made us in your image, in your likeness, and you intended for us, Lord, to display your presence on this earth through the power of the Spirit of God. Father, I'm so grateful that you just didn't give us a gift to get rid of us, but you gave us yourself so that we could always be with you. And from the youngest in this room to the most mature of your believers, you do not in any way discriminate. We thank you for that. We thank you, Lord God. You have an abundance of your grace available with our name on it. And if we don't take it, it'll sit there because no one else will get what you've intended for each one of us. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your grace, for your mercy, which is from everlasting to everlasting. And we bless you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Before the message, We're going to pray for a couple of folks. Is that okay? Do you believe in praying? Good. I'll come out there so it's a little easier. I'm going to pray for Marlo and Sandy. And I want to pray for Mrs. Dunbar. God is able to make us stand. God is able to touch us. You believe that? I believe that. So I'm going to anoint them with oil. Then I want you to gather around them, and we're going to pray for them. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for Mrs. Dunbar this morning. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your love for her. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that God, you have touched her so many times when she has fallen of late. And you, Lord, underneath are the everlasting arms. I pray, Lord, that you would strengthen her legs, strengthen whatever, Lord Jesus, is causing this, Father, that she does not have this difficulty. And I thank you, Lord God, that you do, through your love and through your grace, you keep what we've committed to you against that day. Lord Jesus, especially touch her, I pray this morning, in the power of Christ. Amen. Amen. Father, I thank you for Sandy. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Father, for her life. We thank you, Lord, for her testimony. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that all of her heart and all of her love is in you. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would especially minister to her body today, Lord God. Lord, with a strength beyond anything she's ever experienced, Lord Jesus, because I know by nature, Lord, as we age, things happen. But I also know when the Spirit of God moves upon us, Lord, you can change those things. And I pray you not only do it for Sandy, but for all those. Lord, as we pray today, that your strength, the joy of the Lord, would be our strength. Lord God, and I thank you, Father, for that. Minister to every need and every concern of her soul. Lord, and I thank you, Father, for her. In Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray for Marlo. Father God, we thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, even as he took a tumble, Lord, again, underneath are the everlasting arms and your sustaining power. And I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name that you would heal anything that's been hurt, anything that's been bruised, Lord, and any of the other things, Lord, that you have done in the past in your healing, that you would protect that healing, Lord Jesus, and then that you would touch him. Encourage his spirit this morning, Lord God, to rise on those eagle's wings, Lord Jesus, because you rise us, you take us up, you lift us in heavenly places. And I pray for each of these dear saints, Lord, that you would touch them by the power of the risen Christ. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much, Lord, that your power is above the weight of the world, and we look forward to you touching each, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you today, Lord Jesus, for Marcella, Lord God, and for Kay, who's standing in for her, and for Harvey, as he has already shared. Lord, you know our hearts are with her. You know, Lord God, in that living room this morning, Lord, where she sits.
We pray that the power of God would fall upon her. Lord Jesus and Father God, what's going on in her body would reverse. Lord Jesus, to the glory of the Lordship of Jesus Christ, we pray, Lord God, that you would minister, Lord, from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. Lord, and the anointing oil would fall, Lord Jesus, and it would heal things that she's not even thinking about. But Lord, you would just hold her in your arms and you'd minister your grace. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we call upon you, Lord, and give this wonderful name, Marcella, in your presence, and pray that you would enrich her, Lord Jesus, for what we do not understand, that you will take care of. We also pray for Harvey that you would touch him. Give him your strength. Give him your sight in your word of what you are doing beyond what he can visualize. Lord Jesus, encourage him this morning, we pray. Lord, and we thank you, Father, to stand in the place of such a dear one. I thank you for it, Lord Jesus. And I pray you'd bless Kay and her life and her family as well. Just touch, Lord, we pray, roundabout as we gaze upon you. We thank you, Lord, for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, beside being Reformation Sunday, the 31st of October, you already know, is a day that kids look forward to most of the year. When I was a kid, I remember looking forward to it because it was the only day that you could have candy in school and not get yelled at. That's what I remember. Of course, it's Halloween, and we don't honor the holiday. But I'm thinking about how we kind of view it. How many of you remember going door to door? Okay. I remember as a kid, I went door to door, and those, I do remember those were the days when they started talking about people putting a razor blade in a candy or whatever it was. So my mom would accompany us, which was always a drag when you were a kid. Okay. I'd look at the end of the street, and she'd be like Granny Clampett, like this, waving at us. And I kept hoping nobody would put two and two together. But anyway, I do remember it. Trick or treat, money or eat. Because in some countries, they give out money. In some, they give out food. In some, they give out candy. In some, the kids have to tell a joke before they get a treat. As a kid, we'd go around the neighborhood. And I don't know why it wouldn't have been my idea to go in there in the first place, but we went into this neighborhood bar, which I always prayed against after that. But anyway, we used to go in it. But they'd give us money to get out of there, which was probably a bad choice, because then what? Kept going back. It made sense to me. You know, I could get money, which I did. But nonetheless, on the trick or treat, the trick is kind of the idle part of, you know, if you don't give me treats, then I'm going to do something to your house. And that's the idea of how it has kind of formed. And that made me start thinking about the Lord. Does he trick us? Or does he treat us? There are myriads of people that come to the house of the Lord Sunday, Saturday, Wednesday, whenever day they come. And you know what they do? They come with a handout. That doesn't mean God doesn't minister, but I'm not sure that's the only way we should come. Shouldn't we come with a fullness, a gladness of what he's already done? That's the way I look at it anyway. So I'd like you to turn to Numbers, the fourth book of the Bible, the 23rd chapter. We're going to read the Word of God. Please stand for the reading of the Word. This is an excellent scripture, by the way, to memorize
if you're looking for one. The 19th verse of the 23rd chapter. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? I have received a command to bless. He has blessed, and I cannot change it. You may be seated. Can you imagine? Okay, we'll use Harry as an example. He's not here to argue. Harry goes before the presence of the Lord. He's lived for the Lord. He gave his life to the Lord. He served the Lord well. We all know that. We hear that continually, and we will forever. And he gets before the Lord, and the Lord says, "Oops, just kidding. I didn't mean it." Can you imagine that? Oh my gosh. See, we're depending our eternity upon his promises, right? But what would you do if he said, he pulled the rug out? Now, how many have ever secretly wondered, would he do that? No, he would not do it. But there are people that think God doesn't mean what he says. And there are people who think, well, when I get there, it isn't going to be what he said. Now, just because he doesn't explain it all fully to us, what heaven will be, doesn't mean it isn't what he said it is. Just means we can't comprehend it yet. It'd be like going into a Greek class and trying to figure it all out. God could put it all in there, but, you know, we're not going to be able to understand it. So here's what he does, which I think is the best thing. Instead of giving us the fullest description of the house, he gave us directions. Make sure we get there. Because when we get there, we're going to see the house. We're going to enjoy it. He wants to make sure we get there. Because the most beautiful, beautiful home and presence, if you don't get there, is not going to be meaningful, is it? So he sent his directions. But if the Lord tricked us and said, I didn't really mean what I said, that would be horrible. That'd be absolutely horrible. I can't imagine it. Because every word of the Lord is true. Everything in him is yea and amen. And amen means so be it. It means it's established of old. It's kind of like when you see a house and you see the capstone on it. They generally have established 1952. It's established forever. It's not going to change. God does not change. Everything and every promise is based in four aspects of God, and you know this. The love of God, which is the foundation of who he is, that is number one. Number two is his mercy. You know what his mercy is? It's his love extended to us because we don't deserve it. His love looks beyond our infractions and our sin. Aren't you glad? It's fabulous. The third thing is he exacts justice. He's a God of justice. He has to be. He exacts justice when somebody does not accept the grace God offered. He always offers grace first. Never think that he's giving grace and he pulls it out and he didn't mean it. He does mean it. He wants us to receive it. And the fourth thing, which is basically the fiber of this particular portion, is that God is truth. God is absolute truth. You know, truth is in the Bible, in the book of Ephesians, in the 6th chapter, my favorite book of the Bible, is the armor of God. And you remember what it says about truth? It's the belt that holds the armor together. What happens if you take the truth and you just inch it a little bit? You alter it just a tad. You have undone the protection of the armor. And you have taken it, and loosened it, so it has no help to you in your life at all. If God is not truthful, if everything God says is not truth, the entire Word of God unravels. Do you know that? The entire piece unravels. Have you ever been there where a piece of cloth unravels? And you finally figure out that from there to here, part of you ain't there no more? That's not pretty. It's imperative that everything is in truth, and God, of course, is truth. So this portion of Scripture is taken from a conversation with Balaam, who was a prophet, and Balak, who was the king of the Moabites. And he had seen how God handled other nations that were against Israel. And he decided, well, I can't very well go to God because I don't believe in him. So I'm going to go to the prophet, and I'm going to try to get him to change the blessing of God. God can be moved, can he? God can be approached, true. I'm going to get him to change it and make him curse Israel. You know, theoretically, that's what the enemy's been trying to do since he was kicked out of heaven, is trying to change the blessing of God on your life for a curse. He's been trying that for years. And you and I are grateful that God is not stubborn in that sense, but he is firm. It's that firm belt of truth that does not inch at all. There's not a little white lie. There's not a little gray one. There's nothing. We can totally depend upon him. And so Balak wanted Balaam to change God's mind. He wanted him to curse Israel. And Balaam couldn't do it. He couldn't do it. The question is, when Balak is talking to Balaam, he says this, "What hath the Lord spoken?" Can't you hear a question at the end of that one? Sounds like in the Garden of Eden to me. When the serpent said, "Hath God really said that? Hath God really said that?" Whenever there's a question mark at the end of a statement about God, the enemy is trying to get us to question not just what God says, but really who God is, his nature. That's what he's trying to get at. And I'd like you to keep a visual in your mind about a question mark with regard to who God is, because I will tell you who the source of it is. It's the serpent. And a question mark takes the coil and the form of a serpent to try to get you to question who God is, not only in your life, but just in general. Who is he? Great scripture. God is not a man that he should lie. I don't see a question at the end of that statement. This is an absolute definitive moment when he's referring back to him. The God of this particular portion of Scripture, how God reveals himself, is the Hebrew word El, E-L. And in the Hebrew, it means strong one. It's a masculine term. And it's the same God that brought the Jews out of Egypt. It is the same God that gave promises to Abraham and to Jacob. And actually, it's really the Father of the Godhead here it's talking about. Because in the New Testament, you remember something Jesus said on the cross? He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? In the original, that word is Eloi, Eloi. It means my El, my Father. Why have you forsaken me? It's the same God he's talking about here. The God that didn't lie, the God that didn't forsake him, the God that is true to his promises. Because frankly, if God's not true to his promises, we're all sunk. How many times have you gone to a store and they said, "We promise to replace it for you"? Mm-hmm. Yeah. You go there and you even find out the stuff they advertise isn't there anymore. They just advertise to get you to come. They're lying in their advertisements. God doesn't do that. So he says here, Because when Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He wasn't a ventriloquist. He wasn't talking to himself. He was talking to the Father. And here, God is not a man that he should lie. Now, Jesus became a man temporarily. He took on the tent of a human nature to die for us, to live, and then to resurrect and give us new life. But his deity always controlled his humanity. Isn't that right? There's an age-old debate. Could Jesus truly have been tempted to sin? No, because his nature is God. He was only tempted in the extent that he was physically tired. He was physically in the wilderness, and his body was just, at that point, very weak. So he could be tempted in that sense, but not in his deity, not in his nature. It's not possible. God is not a man that he should lie. He doesn't lie. Do you know that there are people that lie when they could just easily tell the truth? They're just so used to lying that they don't know when a lie is a lie. God's not one of them. Goes on to say, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. This means the one that comes through the line and the lineage of Adam. The Son of Man means here, the word man means Adam. It's talking about humankind or mankind. This man that came through the lineage of Adam, that lived on this earth, is not a man, is not like man, that he would repent or change his mind. You might remember the portion in the Old Testament where God says, I repent, I made man, the time of Noah. What that means is he was sorry about it. He was remorseful because of the sin of the world at the time. It didn't mean he was going to repent and change his mind and do something different. God is not like us. We change our minds all the time. That's what the retail operations are expecting. They're expecting when you come into Kmart or wherever you are, and you go up to the counter, they got all that stuff sitting there? Because they know while you're waiting in line forever, you change your mind. Even though you said before you left home, I'm not going to buy any stuff I don't need. Most of the time you do. Because we're given to change our mind. God is not. The Hebrew word nacham means to console oneself. He had to console himself because there was nobody to console him. God is the original truth teller. He cannot do anything else. So sometimes he tells us the truth and it doesn't feel so good. But I don't know, maybe you're like me. I'd rather know if somebody doesn't like me. Truthfully. Now, you don't have to put an ad in the paper, but I'd rather know where I stand. And I'd rather have God tell me the truth. Because God's truth is more healing than most people's truth. So God doesn't trick us. He's not lying to us. He's not baiting us in life to say, do this, do that, and then when it's time to meet me, there'll be nothing here. He's not like that. You can depend on him. How about how does he treat us? Okay, he doesn't trick us. What kind of treats does he give us? Do you think God's sitting at the door giving us only candy? Not if he lives by a dentist. He probably wouldn't. But here, the prophet Balaam has received from the Lord the message to bless Israel. And he says, he has blessed and I can't reverse it. This is God's choice. God loves to bless his people. He wants to bless us. He's looking to bless us. But if he gives us only sweetness, That's not going to be helpful. If Misty and Jeremy gave their kids only candy, well, first of all, they got to find some kind of a tool that can yank them off the ceiling, because that's where they'll be. They'll just keep going higher. I was reading about a gentleman named Martin Gilbert. He was a survivor of Mauthausen concentration camp at the end of World War II. He had been sent there from Auschwitz. And by the time he arrived here, he was 80 pounds. 80 pounds, which I'm sure was pretty similar to most of the other people that were in the camps. And their digestive systems were so weak by the time that had come. The Allied soldiers came to release them, and that was wonderful. And we still thank God for that. But you know, one thing they did in trying to be helpful, at least in this camp, they gave out chocolate. And they gave out rich food. And the people that had survived the most horrific things that we could imagine died from sugar. They just caved in. Their bodies were too weak to be able to sustain that kind of rich food. God in His mercy, God in His wisdom, does not give us all the fun things all the time. He's not doling out everything that's wonderful and, oh, I just am so happy all the time. It's not good for us. It overloads our system. God gives it out in measures. He does give it, thank God, but He doesn't overdose us. He also doesn't overdose us on the difficult, although at the time we feel like it is. Because He said He'd give us a way to endure it and to escape that tribulation. Can you imagine to have gotten all the way through the camps, and then it's actually the liberation that kills you instead of the assault? That's a great tragedy. That's a greater tragedy in my mind. Reminds me of this little girl who was a gymnast many years ago. Her name was Christy something. And she was anorexic and all of this, and was punishing her body so she could be the best gymnast. And when she died, she was 50 pounds. And there was a phrase in an article that I never forgot. And it said, when her spirit started to fight, her body gave out. God in His wisdom does not dole out everything we want. Just as much as if a kid came to say to their parent, I would like to have this. Well, you know what it would be. May I live on Tootsie Rolls the rest of my life, Mom? And she'd say, no, because they're for me. It's not good for them. And God knows what's good for us, doesn't He? The Lord is not a taskmaster. He's not waiting at the door to hand out fun things and only good things. He's handing out Himself. That's the great thing about the Lord. He takes the little baskets or the little pillowcases we carry. He throws them off and He says, come here, I'm going to hold you. And then in that moment, He gives us the things we really need. And that's far better. God is not a man that He should lie, nor a son of man that He should repent. Has He said and will He not do it? Or has He spoken? Will He not make it good? Behold, I've received a commandment to bless. And when He has blessed, Balaam says, I cannot reverse it. Would you want to? No. You want the blessing of God? I know I do. But I also want the fullness of God. I don't just want Him to dole out something separate from a relationship to Him, because to me that's not the fullness of what He intended at all. on that day before the presence of God, is he going to trick us and say, I didn't mean it? You know, you trusted me. Shouldn't have. That would be the most cruel thing that anyone could ever do. And God's not going to do that, because it would be totally outside of his nature. And he'll give us what we need, and sometimes he gives us what we like. He's very gracious that way. But he's going to give us what we can sustain and what we can deal with. Otherwise, it's called overkill, and it can actually hurt you. There's another scripture in the Bible that says, he granted them their request, but sent leanness to their soul. Do you want something so bad that you're willing to throw God over for it? I hope not, because without him, it's not a blessing. Without him, it's not eternal. Without him, it's not meaningful. I don't know about you, but I'm glad the Lord is standing at the door with his arms open wide and giving himself. It's a far better gift. Please bow your heads. My Heavenly Father, we thank you today, Lord, because, Father, we're not trusting in somebody that's given to change. We're not trusting somebody that decides to change his mind tomorrow because he feels differently about it. We're not trusting somebody that had a hangover and is just mad at us. Lord, we're trusting somebody whose word is established in heaven, who cannot lie, who never has and never will. And every promise that you give is in you, yea and amen. It is absolutely sure. We can put our total life and base it on that. And today, Lord Jesus, I pray for the fabric of our lives, that we be truth tellers, truthful to ourselves, truthful to you, truthful to others. And say, Lord God, you have never disappointed me. If I'm disappointed, it's because I didn't understand it, or because I went ahead of you and I got out of the place where God could bless me. Father, I pray especially for any, Lord, that have a very weak system spiritually and want and want and want, and some of those things can overload us. I pray that you'd strengthen us to receive from your hand the goodness, the truth, the wisdom that will take us forward. Lord Jesus, I'm so glad we can depend on you, Lord, because in this world, as we look around about, we can't really trust advertisement. We can't trust promises. We can't even trust a contract anymore. Somebody will find a way to get out of it. But you didn't do that. You wove yourself into this word so that we cannot separate the two, nor do we want to. And so I pray for your people today, Lord, that you would hand out that which each one of us needs, and we would be pleased to follow the Master, who's never going to lie to us. We can count on it and stake our eternity on it. Father, I pray you'd touch and you'd bless each one through the living word of God. Amen. Amen. Please stand for the final hymn.
Tell of his light and sing of his grace.
Are you glad he's your friend? Amen. The best friend of all. I'm going to ask Norm Graydon if he would come up and close in prayer.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to come before you, to hear what it is that you have to say to us in words and in song. Father, as we leave this place today and go out into next week, move our hearts that we don't forget what we've heard today, that we don't allow the world to press in on us and try to make us into its mold, Father. But Lord, that we have such a high view of you and understanding of you, Lord, that our desire is to do exactly what it is you want each one of us to do. Father, we totally commit our way to you this today and throughout this coming week. And as you give us opportunity to witness in word and indeed, Father, move our hearts to do that we may be a perfect witness for you and look for the opportunity to witness about Jesus to those who don't know you. Amen.